technology, especially biotech, gets pummeled on the stock markets.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Kronos, offering cloud-based workforce management solutions to help organizations of all types and sizes achieve their strategic goals. More at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. The Dow's 266.1% decline and the NASDAQ Composite's 3.1% drop yesterday, the worst performance since 2011, seems to have made investors around the world more risk-averse. So let's go right to the numbers now. The FT 100 in London is down 1.2% at the moment. The DAX in Germany down 1.5%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 0.8%. I will say that Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are reassuringly flat at this moment. Kind of mixed. Not a lot of movement in these futures as dawn hits Wall Street. When stocks go down, sometimes bonds seem more attractive. The government's 10-year note, the yield is down to 2.64% from 2.7% earlier in the week. For more on the storm und Drang for stocks, let's bring in my colleague, Marketplace's Adrian Hill, who's been checking into the mood of market players across many time zones this morning. It is tough to find a single catalyst for this, but I will ask the question anyway. Adrian, why are the markets tanking?
Will you take "we don't exactly know" as an answer? You know, it was really interesting. The Labor Department came out with some relatively good jobs data yesterday, but investors, they didn't buy it. They were anxious and they bailed.
Why do you suppose they're so anxious?
Well, there's a sense out there that tech stocks especially are overvalued right now. There's some analysts who pin the sell-off on that concern. There's talk of a tech bubble and tech bubble burst. You know, Facebook fell 5% yesterday. Netflix fell 5%. Biotech companies also had some major sell-offs.
Why do you think there?
Again, I think there's a concern about whether these companies just cost investors too much. Some of these are also under pressure to lower their drug costs. Gilead Sciences, for one, lost more than 7% yesterday. And that's a company you might remember has been in the news. It's getting pushback on its $84,000 hepatitis C drug. There's also a concern really broadly in the market about first quarter earnings reports,
which are beginning to come out now, but what's the concern?
Well, I think, you know, there's a worry that they're just not going to be great. I mean, we'll see. We're going to have earnings out later today from JP Morgan Chase and Wells Fargo. And some of these big name tech companies are going to report a little later in April.
All right. Well, watch for those profits or lack thereof. Marketplace's Adrian Hill, thank you.
Thanks.
First, the crocuses, then IMF and World Bank kicks off their annual spring meetings today in Washington. Finance ministers from about 200 countries are gathering. Now, the official agenda is jam-packed, but one can't help but notice there is not a panel or a speech about Ukraine. Marketplace's David Gura reports.
The IMF has offered billions of dollars to Ukraine, but there are conditions. For one thing, Ukraine's got to do more to curb corruption.
I think it's going to be talked about behind closed doors.
Barry Eichengreen is an economics professor at UC Berkeley. He's on a panel this weekend about emerging economies, by the way. Eichengreen says the meetings give finance ministers and economists a chance to catch up, to raise concerns.
And very, very occasionally make decisions. The IMF has really not been very successful in the Ukraine.
Ken Rogoff used to be the IMF's chief economist. He says he expects Ukraine will be on the agenda at the IMF's next big meeting in the fall.
I think at the moment, the geopolitics overrides what the finance ministers and the central bankers think.
That may be the case, but Rogoff says they'll have plenty of opportunities to tell each other what they think at smaller gatherings that'll take place on the sidelines that are not on the official agenda. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, whose trains can move a ton of freight nearly 450 miles on 1 gallon of fuel. CSX, how tomorrow moves. By Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. And by Constant Contact, offering small businesses online tools like social media, event, and email marketing from one login at constantcontact.com.
This week, Marketplace is exploring the future of coal, including the decline of the coal business in central Appalachia. As part of our ongoing series, Coal Play, sustainability reporter Sarah Gardner goes to the mountain community of Whitesburg, Kentucky, population 2,000 or so, where Main Street is feeling the effects of a relentless wave of layoffs in coal mining.
At the Railroad Street Mercantile in Whitesburg, owner Kay Fisher surprises you with an eclectic mix of merchandise: homemade jelly, aromatherapy oil, consignment quilts.
From ladies across the county who try to earn a little extra money because a lot of them, their husbands have lost their jobs.
Fisher and her husband opened their convenience store last year as mining employment in eastern Kentucky plunged. Inauspicious timing, but Fisher believed the downtown needed at least one store.
We're able to pay the bills, but have we got our money back that we invested? Not yet.
Take a stroll down Main Street in Whitesburg midday and you start feeling a bit lonely. The courthouse is the busiest place in town, but tables at the cafe across the street are fairly empty. We found co-owner Laura Schuster in the kitchen by herself. She can't afford a helper right now.
Once the layoffs started, we immediately knew what would happen, that people would be afraid that they also would lose their jobs and that they would cut back on any way they can. And one way to cut back is to not eat out.
Whitesburg and other coal towns are also suffering from a steep drop in coal tax revenue, money originally intended for an economy beyond coal. Jason Bailey is director of the Kentucky Center for Economic Policy.
Local governments in eastern Kentucky have gradually become dependent on the coal severance as just a general fund source for operations, police, basic road repair.
And here in Letcher County, that tax revenue is half what it was just a few years ago. At Railroad Street Mercantile, I asked Kay's husband, David, whether the town can survive, whether there is life after coal.
Absolutely. We had life here before anybody mined the first lump of coal out of this place. I mean, there were some hard people living here, and there were some hard times. But it's always been hard times around here.
In Whitesburg, Kentucky, I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
You can find all of our Coal Play coverage at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Once upon a time, there was a father with a bedtime story.
I had a character named Pete, and this character landed on a desert island, and I actually couldn't think of what would happen next in the story.
And thus was born an entire book series. I'm Kai Rizdahl, the story behind Choose Your Own Adventure. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APN.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.